This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have on the program today Representative William L. Dickinson, Republican of Alabama. Congressman Dickinson is chairman of the Republican Congressional Delegation from Alabama. Congressman Dickinson, it's a real pleasure to see you today.
Well, thank you, Dick. It's nice being here.
You have recently made quite a splash in the national scene by a speech that you made on the floor of the House of Representatives on March 30th concerning the Selma to Montgomery March, the civil rights demonstration. And I'd like to discuss that for the next few moments. First, could you give me a vest pocket summary of this speech?
Well, yes, Dick, I'm very pleased to do this. As you say, it may have created quite a ripple, I think. I've gotten a tremendous response from all over the country. Most of it favorable, some small amount unfavorable, but I have found that in most of the instances where the response was unfavorable, it was from people who hadn't read my speech. They picked up parts of newspaper accounts and assumed that I meant something other than what I said. Now, in substance, what I said was that there were four different and distinct elements involved in this march on Montgomery from Selma. And one was the Alabama Negro who had an interest in it and was doing what he conscientiously thought was in his interest. The second group were the do-gooders from outside of the state, who, such as the preachers, the nuns, the professional people, teachers, who out of a real sense of wanting to help, and I feel they were misguided, but they are down there out of compassion for their fellow man and were sincere. The third group, though, was a bunch of rabble and beatniks who were down there just for self-gratification and maybe self-glory. They were just out for kicks, and they were the ones that caused all the trouble, and they just had one drunken debauchery from before they left Selma until after they got to Montgomery, and it's really difficult for the people to believe what went on. And the fourth group, and this was the insidious part of it, was the communist influence there, because it is the communists who are behind all of our recent racial troubles there. People have sort of gotten to the point now where you cry wolf if you say communist. They say, well, it's the same old line, but they were there and we can prove it. And they were the purpose and the undergirding structure for the whole thing. But really, as far as the people were concerned, the people of my community, Montgomery, Selma, the obscenities that were witnessed there by newsmen, by policemen, by others, it is really shocking. And the newspaper accounts haven't always made it clear that I was not talking about the clergy and the do-gooders, I call them. They lumped them all together and inferred that I meant everyone was in on this, and that's not so.
Well, as a matter of fact, didn't some of the northern ministers who were participating in this activity become so disgusted with some of the goings-on that they packed up and left?
Yes, that's very true. We have no way of knowing how many came and left, because we had no way of... Everyone came on their own. They didn't sign in. They didn't have to stay in any particular place. But there were many that came, saw what was going on, became disgusted, and did in fact leave, and the newspapers did mentioned some of those, and some were rather prominent people.
Did you witness any of these activities yourself? Were you in Alabama at the time this march was going on?
Yes, I was there, Dick. Now, you have to remember that this was a ragtag group for the most part. The hardcore beatniks with the long hair, the filthy clothes, the tennis shoes. These were people just out for kicks. They left every campsite, and they camped, I believe, four times. Littered with debris of whiskey bottles, beer bottles. They really had them a swinging party every night. They took over the church, one of the Negro churches in Montgomery, and it took the minister and the deacons of this church 48 hours to get these beatniks, white and black alike, out of the church that they were having such a party in. They slept in it, they couldn't get them out, and they didn't want to have to call the police because of the notoriety involved. After all, these were supposed to be marches to help the Negroes there. And they just had an orgy in the church, I'm told, and I'm getting affidavits to substantiate this.
Well, the information I have is that the colored deacons of the church had to have all of the utility service cut off, the lights, the water, the heat, and everything, in order to finally get the group out.
Don't forget telephones. They were running up quite a long-distance bill, and they had the telephone disconnected at the church, too.
Congressman Dickinson, during the course of your speech on the House floor, you put into the record a circular that was being passed around among the demonstrators that is headed, "Welcome Freedom Marchers to Hollywood Burlesque." And then in big type, "Girls, girls, 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 girls." Was this sort of a traveling carnival, in other words?
Now, I said on the floor in my speech, I do not know who printed this. I do not know where it came from. I do know that it was circulated on the route of the march on the first day. And the second day, they very frantically went back into the old campsite and tried to collect all evidence of this having been passed out, because it was more than just suggestive. Now, it said come to Tent 9, that Tent 9 would be set up nightly in advance of the marches and to come down and join in the revelry of person-to-person good times or something like that. There was no Tent 9 erected. I've been able to ascertain that. Now, whether the pressure kept them from being put up or whether the whole thing is a spoof, I have no way of knowing. But I do know that this circular was given out on the march by those in the marches to some degree. I have one in my possession, and I do know that they stayed in tents. And the newsmen were excluded and kept away from the area where the marchers met and had their little revelry every evening.
I'd like to read just two brief excerpts from the circular before we get on to another subject. The circular said in part, "Note to ministers, please prevail upon the holdbacks to let the show go on in all of its unrestricted glory, fun, frolic, and warmth." And then further on down, "Note to Southern girls, come join in the fun if you can cast off the old-fashioned ideas, whether of racial bigotry or medieval moronic morality."
Well, now here is an actual circular that was given out on the march. As I say, I don't know who had them printed. I don't know anything about them except that they were in circulation on the march, advertising girls in the Hollywood burlesque and wanting everybody to shed their moronic medieval morality.
You said in your speech that the beatnik element had in fact been recruited to be full-time paid demonstrators.
Well, so they said. They've told many officers. They told Wilson Baker, who was the public safety director in Selma. They made no bones about it. One boy in particular, I remember, asked him where he was from, and he said Philadelphia. He had long hair and a beard. He asked him what he was doing down there in Selma, if he lived in Philadelphia. And he said, well, why not? They gave him $10 a day, free room and board, and all the free loving that he wanted. And so he was coming down and having a ball and laughed about it. And this is not uncommon. This was a common knowledge among the officers there.
You said in your speech that only by the ultimate sex act with one of another color can these demonstrators demonstrate that they have no prejudice. In other words, this is sort of a prerequisite to being accepted as part of the group.
Well, I understand. Now, this is the type of thing that you cannot prove. These are just things that are told by those who are in the group, but no one is going to give you an affidavit. But I understand that that is the criteria by which they judge whether or not a white girl, for instance, has in fact prejudice against the other race, or a boy either, for that matter. And I understand that's sort of the rule of thumb among the beatnik group that were going through all of these things in the parade there in the march.
Congressman Dickinson, these instances of sexual misconduct, of drunkenness and debauchery which you have outlined, what proof does exist that these incidents actually occurred?
There are innumerable eyewitnesses. I have in my possession affidavits of no less than 10 people who were eyewitnesses to these events. There were photographs in varying degrees. Of course, most of this took place at night, and taking photographs at night without flash bulbs is a little difficult. But we do have photographs of some of the things I have alluded to. We have the testimony of those who cleaned up some of the campsites as to the facts I have alleged. And when the day comes for the presentation of proof, I will have the proof, because I have it now.
Well, Congressman Dickinson, could it be said that these affidavits are all from people who would tend to be biased against the demonstrators?
No. One is from an AP, one that I've talked to, and he has an account I've seen in the newspaper of sex acts going on during what was billed as a all-night prayer. He was an AP news writer. The newspaper reporters, law enforcement officers, the National Guard that was called out, I don't believe all of these people would be necessarily considered biased.
Congressman Dickinson, our time has gone by very quickly for this discussion. Let's continue it on next week's program.
Fine, I'd like to.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum, who will be back again next week, is Representative William Dickinson, Republican from Alabama. One thing I'd like to mention before we close, and that is that Congressman Dickinson's speech entitled March on Montgomery, The Untold Story, has been reprinted from the Congressional Record. And if you'd like to have a copy of this reprint, just write to us at the address given at the end of this program. Ask for Congressman Dickinson's speech about the March on Montgomery, and we'll be happy to send you a copy. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion, and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.